You're listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Elaine Hruska, M.A. Elaine Hruska is a therapist for the Edgar Cayce ARE Health Center and Spa, located in Houston, Texas. She holds her M.A. in Transpersonal Studies from Atlantic University and is considered an expert on the Edgar Cayce health readings. Elaine trained under Dr. Harold J. Riley, who was a pioneer in the field of massage therapy and a world-renowned physiotherapist. Dr. Riley actually began receiving recommendations and cases from Edgar Cayce in 1930, almost 2 years before they had met. At that time, he had never heard of Edgar Cayce and did not suspect that the referrals were coming from a medical intuitive. Dr. Riley created the Cayce-Riley massage, a particular style of Swedish massage he developed from information suggested in the Cayce readings. Elaine is the author of the best-selling book, Your Key to Good Health, Unlocking the Power of Your Lymphatic System, and the new book, Edgar Cayce's Quick and Easy Remedies, which highlights the wealth of information given in the Edgar Cayce readings with a spotlight on the simplest and most commonly prescribed remedies and a symptom-ready index, which allows the reader to find suggested solutions for just about any illness or disease. To find out more, go to arecatalog.com. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
How did you first learn about Edgar Cayce?
Well, my sister had read There Is a River, which is the first biography of Cayce by Tom Segrew. That was probably in the 1970 or late 60s. And she always talked about him, and then some of my other girlfriends had read some of Gina Sermonaro's books on reincarnation. They discussed it. So I heard his name a lot. And it wasn't until we got into a study group, and we just happened to be at a church function, actually, that was a series on the New Testament. And at the break, we happened to walk by a group of people who were talking, and this one guy said, was complaining about the priest who was conducting the class, saying he could make this class so much more interesting. He could bring in Edgar Cayce. Well, my sister's ears perked up, and we started talking to him. Turned out he was an Elsie Sechrist study group, who was, Elsie was an author, had written Dreams Your Magic Mirror, and had also gotten readings from Cayce. So she lived in Houston. And he invited us to come to the group, and that was it. That's how my introduction to Cayce.
Wow.
I continued going regularly to the study group, and it was really through the study group. I didn't really read that much about Cayce, but I was learning an awful lot just from sitting in on the study group, which met weekly, and they worked with dreams and meditation and read from the Search for God book, and would discuss it and then work on a discipline for that week. So I was really impressed with those people. I just never believed that this group could have such a high spiritual foundation and were so interested in spiritual things, which I was too. I had just been out of the convent for a couple of years, and this was really surprising to me that here were a lot of lay people, very much almost living kind of a monastic experience in a sense, but in the world. So it was quite an eye-opening for me. And I was just fascinated with Edgar Cayce, as my sister was too. And of course, it was later on, I guess, the health readings impressed me. And when I moved to Virginia Beach and got a job at the ARE editorial department, I started learning more and more again, because I had to read and copy edit books and articles that were going to be published by the ARE press. So I didn't realize at the time when I still hadn't quite read a whole lot, but I was really absorbing a lot through those little articles and books and the copy editing that I was doing. So So I became, more, I get kind of nervous about the term an expert. I see that written, Elaine's an expert. And I really don't feel like an expert. The readings are, there are over 14,000, but 9,000 deal with health issues, and I know I haven't read all of those, but it's very complex, but very simple too.
When you were doing your research initially, I guess you didn't have the DVD or computer search engine, or did you?
No, not the first. Well, I had a sonar professional, they call it. So it was a computer, but in the very beginning, up until the mid 80s, when the readings were put on computer, we had to. When we worked in the editorial department, if people sent us in article or manuscript that had some readings in it, we would go to the library. We were on the third floor of the hospital building. The library was a separate building, so we had to come down to the first floor, walk across the parking lot, go into the library, and pull out the binders and check the readings that way. We wanted to make sure the readings were verbatim and that the numbers were correct. So, yes, in the beginning it was people who wrote books and articles had to just depend on the library copies. So it was much more difficult.
It's
much easier now, gosh.
You're among a select few who trained directly with Harold Reilly, Harold Reilly, who created the Casey Reilly massage. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Dr. Reilly was, some people think he was an MD, but he was a doctor of physiotherapy, which he said probably today they'd be called a physical therapist, but he had a PhD in physiotherapy. And he was working in New York City, and of course Casey had a lot of friends in New York City and were giving readings in that area. So occasionally within their health readings, he would recommend people to see various professionals, health professionals. And so a couple of times if people needed a massage, if the reading said they needed a massage, he started just out of clear blue, picked Dr. Riley's name out and told this person to get a massage from Dr. Reilly. Now, someone told me, and I haven't found this exactly, but that in one reading he said, go to Dr. Reilly, he's doing it right. And when I read some of the, there are two books actually that Dr. Reilly wrote before he wrote the Edgar Casey Handbook for Health. And this was before he even knew Casey. And he was pretty much, I think, on the same wavelength. They had a very common in their holistic approach to health. He's what he called his sort of institute. He said they were devoted to drugless therapy. So it was pretty much like massages. And he did exercise with them. He worked with diet. Kind of a real holistic approach to the body. He started getting people coming to him who were who said, Edgar Casey told me to come to you for a massage. And he told me himself when he was training me, when I'd come in for training, he'd tell me these stories, and he said, I didn't know who Dr. Casey was. I never heard of him. And they said, one lady finally said to him, well, he's not a doctor, he's a psychic. And, of course, Dr. Reilly rolled his eyes, you know, and thought, I didn't really know what to make of that, he said. Eventually they met, and he discovered that, you know, they pretty much were on the, he started reading more of his readings, and actually started, for example, castor oil packs. He noticed they were mentioned quite a lot in the readings. He started recommending that to his clients. And of course, Casey was telling people to get different kinds of showers and hot and cold baths and things like that, sitz baths, foot baths. And Dr. Reilly had all that equipment in his office already. So people just started coming to him with their readings, and he was one of the few people that would actually follow the reading. The problem sometimes people had when they received a reading was not getting support from their health professional. And I do remember reading a couple of letters from people that complained to Casey that they went to an osteopath, and Casey had specified which particular vertebrae to adjust. The doctor said, I'm not going to adjust those, I'm going to adjust these. You know, they just wouldn't follow it. And so Dr. Reilly would. He would read the reading and follow exactly the massage instructions that were given in the reading, which were very individual, very different for each person. And so what he did, we think he was already doing maybe some of the strokes, For example, Casey talked a number of times for massage to do circular motions alongside either side of the spine, small circular motions, that this would stimulate the ganglia that are just, it's like a cord that is right on either side of the spine. And these ganglia are nerve centers. And this would, it's just a gentle movement, and it would stimulate those. And he said it, overall, and I don't think this can be proven, but overall he said it would balance the two nervous systems. Well, Dr. Riley was already doing that, my understanding. Someone told me that he was already making circular motions along the spine, so he knew what that was when he read it in the reading. But he told me that he was fascinated, I think, with Casey. He would read the person's reading, and he said, how did he know all this stuff? He never saw the person probably. He didn't palpate them. So how could he know all this information about him?
We'll be right back with more with Elaine Hruska, M.A. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Elaine Hruska.
He was just really fascinated with Casey. And he estimated that Casey probably sent about 1,000 people to him. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty high number. But I looked in the readings. I think the readings, maybe a little over 100 may have been actually, his name was mentioned in the reading, that the person should see Harold J. Riley. But I read it to a lot of letters that people would write to Casey after their reading, say, you suggested I give a massage. Do you have any recommendations for who to go to? And he would say, oh, Dr. Riley, we've heard a lot of good things about him. And he would just really praise Dr. Riley. And, of course, if the people were living in the New York City area, they would get that recommendation for Dr. Riley. But Casey did recommend other people as well. Especially those who didn't live in New York City, but he sent quite a number, as Dr. Riley's estimation, 1,000 people to him, and they had a kind of a long, well, until Edgar Casey's death, they had a long, about a 15-year, I guess, association with each other. They conferred a lot, and then when Dr. Riley retired. He had all this equipment, and he encouraged Hugh Lynn to open up the therapy department at the hospital building, or the old Casey headquarters, and that was the beginning of the spa, and they eventually turned into a massage school.
Did you learn from Dr. Riley in New York, or were you in Virginia Beach?
Yeah, I lived in Virginia Beach, but I went to, he's actually at that time retired. He said he had tried three times to retire, but he lived in Oak Ridge, New Jersey on a farm, and there was a lake nearby. It was really the rural area of northern New Jersey, because I always think people think, well, it's New Jersey's all urbanized, but this is a really pretty area, the northern part. And I stayed with some people in New York City, some ARE members, and drove out each day for my lesson. I stayed about 2 weeks. And my advantage, though, was I had been receiving a Casey Riley massage almost every week for a little over a year. And so I had the advantage of having received it. And he taught a similar kind of massage to each person, but he may have varied it slightly from person to person, depending on their size and their ability. Maybe he found that it was too difficult for them to do a certain move, so he would suggest a different way of doing it. But somebody once told me that you would know, even if the massage might be slightly different, in style from one person to another, you would know that was a Casey Riley massage. And so what he did was I would get on the table first, and he would work on me. And then he would do maybe one body part, like an arm or something. Then I'd get off the table, and I'd work on him. And that's how we'd spend the hour. Sometimes it was an hour and a half. Sometimes it was a little bit longer. But mostly it was about an hour for each lesson till you went through the whole body. And then I still had a few days left for my 2 weeks. I was still there in New York. So we just had a couple of days where I would just give him a full body massage, and we wouldn't do any cross, table back and forth work anymore. So he would just lie on the table, and I would give him the full body massage. And he would be correcting me all along, you know, and just making adjustments and telling me to bend my knees when I did the massage. He really tried to have us move our bodies so that you wouldn't get so tired. And I hear so many therapists that haven't been trained by Riley, but they trained in other schools. And you know, within a year or two, they've got sore joints in their thumbs or their wrists or their back is hurting them. And I thought, man, you know, I'm so glad Dr. Riley was very emphatic about moving your body in a certain way and watching us as we gave massages so that we would do it correctly. And he maintained that if we did the massage correctly, and we would never have any problems. And if we are having problems with pains or aches or something, we're probably doing a particular stroke incorrectly. So he would advise us to find out what it is, stop doing what we're doing until we figure out what it is we're doing wrong about that stroke and try to make kind of a course correction, you know, and so that we would do it more fluently and our bodies can move better with it. That's why he did a lot of exercise. He told me he exercised 1 hour every day so he could spend 8 hours with clients. And he was in, you know, he died when he was 92. He was in pretty good physical shape. He really lived what he believed. I mean, he would say these things to people and give them advice and all that, but he would follow a lot of that himself. You know, so he was a sort of a pattern or a model of his own philosophy.
I was just curious, was he Bob Hope's doctor?
Yes. The latest issue of Venture Inward, which came out just about a month ago, I guess, the October, November, December issue has an interview with Harold J. Riley. I don't know when the interview was taken, but there's a picture of them, and that I've seen that picture reproduced a number of times with Bob Hope. And they became good friends, and it's also mentioned in the Handbook for Health Through Drugless Therapy that I believe he went sometimes to their home. They had a home up, I think, in upstate New York, and he would spend some time with Bob and Doris you know, remain good friends with them until he passed away. But Bob Hope, and he gave actually a lot of famous Broadway, because of course he's in New York, so there was a lot of theater people, TV production people, even radio people. I know he worked also on Sonia Haney, who's an Olympic figure skater. She was having problems with having too much development in her lower body with her legs, with her ice skating, and getting almost like top heavy. So he kind of helped slim her out so she was more, more balanced. And so he has those in his book on Handbook for Health, a lot of accounts of the people that he worked with. So he was quite well known. And I had a couple of years ago was giving a massage to a woman, and I mentioned him, Dr. Riley, having an office. He had an office space in Rockefeller Center, which is that's prime real estate. She said, you know what? I bet that is really expensive. Of course, this was in the 40s, I guess, 30s and 40s. But she said, I bet they gave him a deal, you know, a discount on that. Because, and then she told me that she knew some of the Rockefellers, and a couple of them, or maybe one of them, was really interested in holistic health, but they just kind of kept it quiet. So she said, I bet they were thrilled to have him in there. But it was the Riley Health Institute, he called it. And they said it was like a big center where he had, room for equipment for exercising, and we had different kinds of baths and showers that people could get, as well as massages and colonics.
Wow.
His whole family, we're all into the medical profession. I think there was I don't know how many siblings he had, but I think for maybe one was not involved in the medical field in some way. But his brothers and sisters were involved, and I know people told me that when I went to New York to get trained, that was back in 1977, that his brother Patrick was a doctor, an MD, and was that was one place that ARE people knew they could get colonics. He gave them there at his office. Dr. Riley continued to, you know, work people that come to his, up to his place in New Jersey, and he said practically demand that they would get a massage from him. They really, really liked his massage. And he really helped people, I think. His idea was that, he told me, was that he would work himself out of a job. So if he had came across people who he really felt like needed regular massages for their health, he would try to get a family member, teach them exactly what they should do with this person. And some of those are recounted in his book, but you know, he told me there were a number of people like that that he was trying to work himself out of a job. He knew he didn't want them to have to pay him all this for all these massages. So he would train a family member and then have the family member work with that person. So he, in a way, it was also improving relationships in homes and all in families. You know, the one man who had been in an accident and really messed up his leg and was broken a number of parts and all that. Doctor said, well, you're going to have to limp for the rest of your life. And, well, Dr. Riley started working on him and knew that he could, you know, he could really help heal the muscles and the tissues in his leg. So he taught his son, gave him a couple of weeks of training, and so the son could work on him. And later on, the father thanked Dr. Riley because not only did it help him, he's not walking with a cane anymore, he doesn't even have a limp anymore, but he said it really improved the relationship they had together. They became closer. Mm-hmm. So I think Dr. Riley had a, you know, sort of a sixth sense about bringing families together and bringing close-knit healing, you know, to take place within a family.
Well, now, you have a new book, Edgar yes. Cayce's Quick and Easy Remedies. Could you tell us about it?
Yes. The idea of the book was that I would go and talk about some of the more popular remedies that Cayce mentioned in his readings and really describe it in such a way it would be like a recipe book where people could look at it and read the directions. It would all be right there on how to make it. How to put it together, how long to use it, and how often to use it. So all of these directions I try to kind of distillate and put in each chapter. There are, of course, a lot of things mentioned in the readings which are no longer on the market. So some of these were remedies that were on the market.
We'll be right back with more with Elaine Hruska, M.A. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Elaine Hruska.
So some of these were remedies that were on the market. For example, glycothymoline, which was a mouthwash at the time, and it was good for oral hygiene, they called it. But it was produced by this family, and they went ahead and it had natural ingredients in it. So Cayce started advocating that for as well as a mouthwash, but for even as packs for if you have sinus problems, to put it straight and pour it into a little cotton cloth and put the cloth over your forehead across the sinus areas. And that has eucalyptus in it and camphor and thymol, and those are just, it's really aromatic, and so that really helps with the sinus. A lot of people who have had a lot of sinus problems have said how much relief they've gotten from just one application of this, but he started advocating it, in other words, using the glycothymoline, but for other remedies than what the, or other conditions rather than what the bottle was prescribing. But if he was even saying to take it internally, which they said, well, if you happen to swallow it while you're washing your mouth out, that's okay. But not to take it directly in it internally, which Cayce was using for an alkalizer to keep your body alkaline. So this actually helps prevent colds and flu-like symptoms because it can keep your body alkaline. Eating proper foods, like mostly vegetarian or vegetables and fruits, will help also to keep your body alkaline. But this product also helps too. So just put a little bit, he said like 5 drops or so, in a little bit of water and drink it like once a day. And I used to, when I felt like I was cutting down with a cold, I would take it. And I would still get a cold, but I never could really tell, you know, maybe the cold would have been worse. And then I heard Hugh Lynn, who was Edgar Casey's son, in a lecture he mentioned that he took it every day. When he got up first thing in the morning before he brushed his teeth, he would take a little bit of glycol and swallow it. I thought, wow, I didn't know you could take it every day, and it was okay to take it on an empty stomach. So I started doing that. And maybe a couple of times I'd forget, a couple of days. But I did it mostly every day. And then, I don't know, a couple of years went by, and I realized I have not had a cold in 2 years. And I usually would get my annual cold every winter. And so I said, the only thing I think of that I did differently was the glycothymoline. And I knew my diet is not that alkaline, but evidently the glycol helped boost the alkalinity to a certain extent. I don't know, but I mean, I just realized I hardly ever get a cold. And so I still continue doing that. But that was not what the manufacturer recommended. They certainly didn't recommend anyone taking that internally. It was really as a mouthwash. And gargle. You can gargle with it, too.
What else did Edgar Casey suggest for colds?
Well, as I said, you could eat an alkaline diet and something like, look up the word colds in here, because colds and congestions, I mean, they're, depending on what conditions people have, but you can... like you can do a hot pack, take like a steam bath. You can even do sometimes an onion poultice on the chest, which would be helpful for colds. Another thing he suggested also is camphoderm. You can rub that on your chest. It's kind of like a Vicks vapor rub. It's camphor and turpentine and mutton tallow mixture. And you just shake it up and you rub that on your chest. It feels cool when you first put it on, then as you rub it, it gets warmer. It heats up. But even a coffee foot bath, putting your feet in hot water that has coffee grounds in it that has been, actually the coffee grounds have been used, but you reboil them. And when they cool off, you can put them in this warm water and stick your feet in it, just maybe for 5 or 10 minutes, and rub your feet in it. So it's a lot of different things that people can do for colds. And I know sometimes just people feel like, I guess it depends on why the cold is starting. It might be because the person is too toxic. So getting rid of toxins so doing a colonic for some people that helps. Or an enema, or they can take a hot bath, or they can take sit in a steam cabinet and steam some, and through the sweating will get rid of some toxins. So that's usually good. I mean, and resting. Sometimes just sitting, lying down and, you know, for a couple of days of rest. And some people feel like that, I think, you know, sometimes I'll hear them say that they got a cold because they were working too hard or working overtime too much and really extending themselves too much, and so the cold came along to slow them down. So they're grateful to the cold because they can lie in bed for a couple of days and do nothing, which is what they should have done before, I guess.
Well, now, I noticed on a list of some of the things your book talks about, what Edgar Casey, you know, the remedies he was talking about, Alzheimer's is on that list.
Yes.
What did he say to do to treat Alzheimer's?
Well, see, I have that in the back of the book. There's a list of the symptoms and the remedies that were that Casey was suggesting the readings. The only thing that I have listed here is a wet cell appliance for Alzheimer's. Now, there have been several articles in Venture Inward lately mentioning this appliance, seeming like some success with it, with Alzheimer's. It's complicated to make. I've never used this as one of the few remedies in the In the book, I have 35 remedies, but this one, the few remedies that I didn't use, it's actually one of what you might call electrical therapy. It's kind of a device that has a battery, produces a measurable, they said, electric current. It's just a very small voltage, so it's not going to, you're not really, usually people don't feel it. But it's the primary reason for the wet salve was to stimulate growth of nerve tissue. So the wet salve is also recommended for nerve diseases like MS, muscular dystrophy, certain diseases where there's kind of incoordination of the nervous system. That this particular device does help kind of stimulates the growth of nerve tissue. And so the only thing recommended that I came across that he actually used, he maybe didn't use the name Alzheimer's, but talked about senility. That's another thing with the readings. There's a lot of updating needed on the words and everything that might be different than what we use today. But that's the only thing that is listed here in this book was for Alzheimer's was the wet salve appliance. Now, some years ago, a woman wrote an article in Venture Inward about what she had done. She was a counselor, and she worked with hypnotherapy to a certain extent and worked with visualization and people writing out affirmations. So she got this one person to write out an affirmation, and he used it regularly. And he improved so much that the doctors say they misdiagnosed him. He did not have Alzheimer's. So, he started almost like reversing. So, and he actually came to the she did a talk in Virginia Beach at one conference, and he was there, so he got a chance to introduce and meet him. But, again, he worked with the wet salve as well, but he also worked mostly with affirmations and hypnotherapy and prayer, and so that helped as well.
And I also noticed on the list menopause. What should someone do regarding that?
For menopause, he recommended apple diet, massage, mostly pineal massage, the radioactive appliance, and a sitz bath. Of course, the sitz bath is something that's actually Dr. Riley did that in his office, and I remember seeing, I don't know where we've got rid of it now, but I remember seeing sitz bath. We had two large, looked like large sinks. People could sit down and you alternate between hot and cold. And it really stimulates anything below the waist. It really is very good for any kind of digestion problems or intestinal problems. And so anyway, that would make sense for menopause. But sometimes it's just sitting in warm water that would help. Apple diet and massage, pineal massage, radioactive appliance helps balance the energies of the body. Now that I've used just because I was in an experiment for 1 month and had to hook it up and all that, and for these appliances, they asked me to put some appliances in the book. So the wet cell is one, the radioactive appliance is another, the violet ray is another appliance, and the electric vibrator.
We'll be right back with more with Elaine Hruska, M.A., on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Elaine Hruska.
These appliances, luckily, they come with a lot of information with them, so they can be seem like kind of complicated to put together and all that. But there's Bruce Barr even has an instructional booklet that comes with the radioactive appliance. It can be purchased separately, I think. But to help you to put the appliance together. So in the beginning, it seems like there's a lot of there's connecting of different wires and everything, things like that, and connecting the wire to the battery and then to your body. And so it can seem like a kind of complicated at first, but then after a while, if you do it, it gets a little easier. So the radioactive appliance, I guess, helps because it helps balance the bodies, the systems in the body. And this would help with menopausal complaints. But the way the book is written, it each chapter is a different remedy. Because I felt like, of course, when you do look at a normal remedy book, it's by illnesses, by disease patterns, or by health symptoms. And I thought there are so many, for example, times when you would use a castor oil pack. And so if I came to all of those different symptoms, and I'd have to repeat that information over and over again. So I decided to go ahead and just simplify it as much as I can. Take one chapter, say, on castor oil pack and explain how to do it so that if you read a reading or come across a reading and Casey mentioned a particular item to use, you can look it up in the book and find a little bit more detailed information on how to use it. So I did it kind of backwards than from what usually I see in books, that I have the all the remedies listed first, and then at the end of the book, it's all of the different health conditions, but the remedies that Casey mentioned listed along with them.
Wow.
There are so many, come across so many items I never heard of, you know, and of course they're not available today. And so I didn't want to put them in, and we decided not to. There's also some formulas that you can get that some people put together. Bruce Barr Products has put together some formulas.
Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
You know, just that the book is really meant to help people, and that was my intention, and the intention of the ARE too when they suggested it. One thing is it's hard enough to look, and if you have a particular health condition, to research in the readings. I mean, someone told me that just the other day, that they get to go to the readings and it's just they have a hard time searching for it, and that's what sometimes the circulating files are really good for, because they're already kind of bound together. He's here all the on a particular topic or particular health condition. They're already stapled and put together, so you can read all the readings on that health problem and kind of get an idea of maybe what you could do. So if you read some of those readings and you say, well, I don't know how to make a castor oil pack, well, they could come to the book and look it up, you know, because sometimes it's given in the reading, but sometimes it's not, it's spelled out. So a lot of times I would see that Gladys Davis Turner would insert sheets of paper with the reading that give directions on how to use these things that were recommended in the reading. So it's really intended for people to, you know, to help them if they need help with, they really want to follow the readings and they want to do the natural things. So they will, see in some readings where these are recommended, but having a clue how to do them. Well, hopefully this book will help them, and the directions were easily spelled out, and there's also testimonials. If there were some, there were testimonials, I'd try to put some in there, and plus any kind of additional information about the product. Anyway, it's meant to be a helpful book that people can use. And hopefully it's easy to read and easy to understand.
Thank you for all this information. And thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, it's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Allison Ray, my wife. Well, hello.
Hello.
And what's today's Thought for the Day?
Today's Thought for the Day is from reading 9/11-6. Each act, each thought of each body adds to the bringing about of his kingdom in the earth, or adds to that which prevents it from becoming manifest in this material plane.
Well, what does that mean to you?
To me, this is talking about how we each have a role to play in bringing God's presence into the material and into the world. And it's sort of like Jesus said, it's not just about what you do, it's actually about what you think. So every act of ours, every thought is doing something. And we need to remember that, you know, are what we doing and thinking being part of manifesting God's world in the earth, or are we countering that?
Oh, yes. I recently heard that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and or like yeast in bread. You know, it's spreading. Mm-hmm. So would you rather be part of that? You know, would you rather be part of the branches or part of the yeast or part of the dough? You know, would you rather be part of the kingdom of God that's as it's spreading and, you know, becoming manifest in the earth or not? And each thought has an effect.
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me, you know, if I'm driving and there's a lot of traffic and I get annoyed with people, I try to stop and pray for the people that rather than thinking about the annoyance or thinking about the frustration I'm feeling in this traffic. So it's mentally exercising my mind so that I'm more in alignment with the ideal that I have and with trying to bring God into the world.
Yes, rather than like screaming out the window or something and waving your fists.
Exactly. I stop and bless people all the time.
You know,
before the phone, before I answer the phone when it rings, I stop and pray for the person on the other side, and I find that that helps me to be more present and to be more in attunement with whatever it is that they need to hear.
Oh yeah. Well, thank you for doing the thought for the day today.
Thank you. Have a great week.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Elaine Hruska, MA, for talking to us about the KC Health Readings. To find out more about her books, Your Key to Good Health, Unlocking the Power of Your Lymphatic System, and Edgar Casey's Quick and Easy Remedies, go to arecatalog.com. Thanks also to Allison Ray for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey.